Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5, a central podcast. We give you all the news, the reviews, and the
rumors
on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games.
I didn't drag out the rumors enough, and I kind of feel bad.
We really should have a better intro for people discovering the show. It's really not accessible, but I guess the numbers keep going up, so thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We really appreciate it.
I love the rumors.
Vike, what's your name again? The Voice of the Voiceless is your new nickname since you've come back.
Yeah, some reason you've appointed me the Voice of the Voiceless. So I'll take that. I'll wear that.
Until the next one comes.
Wear that label. Until the next one comes.
Because we can't bag you now because you've played Hideo's last game, you know, Death Stranding.
I know.
We were able to bag you for many moons there.
Many moons, yeah. Well, I still have a bunch of, like, I haven't played Revengeance or Red Dead, you know. I've been playing Cyberpunk, though. So I'm trying to get
Cyberpunk original or Phantom?
I'm going to do it all, but original for now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much at the mark where I left off last time when I played, like, you know, last year. I got to this point last year where I kept blue screening, so I just stopped it. Now I'm at that point now, or like past it, you know. So it's been phenomenal. I am in love with this game, and it's so much fun. The perk system is so much better.
A lot better, isn't it?
Policing.
You got to admit.
It's just even.
It's come a long way.
Even just like I was trying to, because I had a big problem with this in the other, in, you know, the older Cyberpunk, where I would look something, then look back and look back, look away, and then look back again, and like the whole crowd would go away and the cars. And
that was shocking yeah. Back in the day,
and it's a lot better. There's still like it from what I can see, like tracks some cars and NPCs like 60%, and then the other 40% will change, but you can't notice it unless you try.
Oh, the cops, have you done the cops?
Yeah, the policing's a lot better, because the problem I had was cops would just randomly spawn. Like, I remember I was hiding in this intricate corner of the shop, and police were spawning, like, behind me in the shop. They were spawning in the, like, in the building where there's no doors. It's, like, one door, and they were spawning in that room. So it was clearly really bad, but now it's a lot better. And look, I just want to praise this game for the perk system and the abilities and the upgrades, because they've actually, I want to praise it for hitting the balance. I'm constantly getting upgrades. And I feel good about it. And they're very meaningful, because the way I see it is like I'm getting a lot of upgrade points, and I can put them to a lot of different perks, cool, intelligence, technical ability, body, all that. And there's obviously all these perks associated with it. But these perks associated are very meaningful. Now, because there is such a wide variety in Cyberpunk.
You can do different builds. Which build are you doing?
Yes. I haven't felt it out yet, because I'm just at the start, really. But I'm just trying to go. I'm getting base upgrades right now, so I haven't specialized in any sort of way yet.
I became the hacker of Night City, Vikath.
The hacker. That's not a bad idea, actually. I might.
And then I became the melee master.
I definitely go guns. I feel like gun plays is a lot of fun. It's a lot better as well. But
so you're telling me my routes were dumb?
No, I'm just. I just want to play it, you know. I don't know.
I didn't really go one specific route, which sounds like what you're doing. You're kind of just picking and choosing what you like, which is fine as well.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the difference I see with your mate Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Cyberpunk, right? So the way I see it is
my cousin. We'll call
him. Your cousin. So there's a lot of upgrades. So it's the same amount, right? You're upgrading all the time, boost skill points up and up and up. But there's only like five. I remember there wasn't many skill trees. And with Assassin's Creed, you're using all those skills. So it's very incremental. It's like, you know, 2% in stealth, right? You can't feel that difference.
Well, that's what Avatar was like. And you were saying, oh, it's not too bad though.
Avatar?
Oof. Yeah, the new Avatar game. I was sharing screenshots of the skill tree. And you guys were defending it.
Did I defend it? I don't know, Dan.
It was the greatest game of the year, man. That was your exact quote. This is an incredible game.
I'll humbly admit that. But no, Cyberpunk, like every, because there's so many wide variety of ways you can play, there's still, you can have so many different upgrades, but everything be meaningful because there's just so many skills. So you don't have to like put 100 upgrades into a very narrow skill tree to make every little thing small and incremental to have 100 upgrades. Because Cyberpunk's so, like there's so much variation, you can have meaningful upgrades constantly. You know, you're upgrading sometimes things by 15, 20, 50% and you feel it, right? So it's just, I really want to praise it for it. I feel like it got that balance of constant upgrade, but also meaningful. They hit a really good balance and I actually feel it. I get excited when I'm, you know, I'm getting experience and street cred and all that sort of stuff because I do want to, you know, get the new cars and get the new weapons and stuff. So it's just really good. There's a crafting system and...
You haven't gotten to Dogtown yet.
No. I've just met, I've just, yeah, like sort of Johnny Silverhand and just gone a bit from there. It's actually by...
Here we go. This will be the dumbest sense possible.
It's Keanu Reeves. I was trying to think of something really dumb, but...
I thought it was Kieran Benson from episode 5.
It is.
Of the PS5 Central podcast. No, yeah, play through that and make sure you do get to Phantom Liberty. It's incredible. I actually spoke to Songbird today, who's a character from that expansion. She was a great character, and they nail all the characters in that game. I continue to do so with Phantom Liberty. It's kind of like the James Bond expansion of Cyberpunk. Yeah. It's really, really cool.
The next actor who should play James Bond, Idris Elba.
Oh, this would convince you he'd be a great Bond, this game. He's just commanding.
I've just seen him de-escalate a hijack on a plane.
You just spoiled the show, man. How dare you? You just spoiled hijack.
It's on Apple TV, guys. It's a good show, Idris Elba. It's called Hijack. Dan got me onto it, or me and
did
my
you beat
wife
it?
Onto it, and we
did
loved
you beat it.
It?
Did you finish
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we loved it. Yeah, yeah, nice. We finished it.
So next up, Silo.
Silo, that's the one, yep.
Yeah, great show, everyone. Really great show. I love a show with mystery, and that does it perfectly.
What are you watching, Dan? What's on your – I know we're going to get into the game.
I'm watching a show called Banshee, which is Banshee. Anthony Starr, Homelander, his first breakout hit show where he's a detective – A sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
He's a sheriff.
I've seen clips from that,
yeah. Yeah, great little show. So we're on that at the moment. And then Severance. I was trying to get through
That's
Severance.
On Apple as well,
I was
it?
Pretty. Yeah, I was pretty late to that show. I did watch the Squid Game reality show. I like that too.
We're on episode 2 of that. My wife and I are smashing 2 shows right now, Dan. You want to hear them?
Here we go, yeah.
First one is Monk.
Monk. What's that?
It's a detective serial sort of.
From 2009 or 2002.
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, I've good never show. Heard of it.
It's good writing, Dan. Like, good it's reviews. Like an NCIS, you know, procedural, but every episode is really well written.
Yeah, right.
Good show. And the other one is The Good Place.
Netflix. Oh, yeah.
So that's been pretty
what
good.
You're telling me is you didn't pick the shows.
I actually picked Monk and she picked The Good Place and we're kind of balancing between the two. And then she ended up liking Monk more and I ended up liking Good Place more. So it's kind of funny how things switched. But we're going a bit back and forth. And then I'm watching, I just started Reacher season 2.
Oh, yeah, I want to watch that. Yeah, he's a big boy. Fucking hell.
He's huge. And Invincible, a lot of anime. So it's just, there's a lot of content right now, mate.
Yeah, I've been playing the Valhalla DLC for Call of Duty, God of War.
I was just going to say, I'm so excited to play that. I've heard really good things. I've got it installed, ready to go.
Yeah, you'll love it. It just gives you more of what you want from that game. Adds to the story as well. A lot more story than I thought that would ever do for a free DLC. Let's not forget it's free.
Mm.
And now I know why Christopher Judge made that remark about Call of Duty, because at the back of his left pocket was a card that he was waiting to play, and that was a free DLC that was longer than their campaign.
Yeah, that's crazy that it's longer as a DLC. I mean,
yeah,
I was watching a video today, and the guy said, like, yeah, on sort of an easier difficulty, where if you're really good, you can complete the COD campaign in like 2.5 hours. So
probably, yeah,
that's shocking. That's horrible. And
they do have zombies and multi, so we're not counting that. But
I know. I stopped playing the multiplayer the other day, so I like fully stopped. I'm like, I'm kind of over it now. And first of all, they take game modes out of rotation and you can't play it. Is that just me? Or like, I love gun game and I can't play it anymore for some annoying
reason. Yeah, I don't know if that's just in Australia, but they do that. Yeah, it's kind of annoying. You want to play trios, battle royale, yeah, and then they give you quads and just stuff like
Stop
that.
Stop forcing me to like play what you want. Like, just have them all open. I know they want to fill lobbies and stuff, but Call of Duty is huge. They shouldn't have that.
That's what I'm saying. They do have that problem in Australia, I'm pretty sure, when the game's not hot.
Yeah. But
I
get it.
Back to Valhalla. But Valhalla is really worth your time. I haven't finished it yet. I've only got to play a few hours, so I'm still going through it. Mm-hmm. But definitely check that out. We'll go into it more when you play it. I'll hold my thoughts because I still haven't beaten it, so I'm only a couple hours in, basically.
Can't wait.
About halfway.
You know, what I was thinking, Dan, all right? Let me ask you this about Call of Duty. Do you enjoy the multiplayer? Has the nostalgia of
Not at all. Nah. Couldn't get me in.
Do you know what the funny thing is? Fortnite, when they got the original map, killed it. How much did they make? You know, they were back to their old levels. I forgot the statistics, but they were insane. They were back to their old original levels of Fortnite players, and everyone visited it when the new old map. I'm like, how come the nostalgia worked for a game like Fortnite, but not for Call of Duty when the same thing was happening?
Skill-based matchmaking is a big point. Breaking point for me. Without, you know, it's kind of annoying at this point. It's just getting too much.
Do you know what the other thing for me is, Dan? It's the gun meta and how long, like, you have to take to unlock a gun. Not only to unlock a good gun.
Oh, that's
but
horrible.
How long it takes to actually get the attachments. Like, I've been playing Call of Duty, like, a lot recently on the same gun, and I'm, like, not even close to unlocking a silencer or a scope or extended mag. And I'm just like, this is just too much to do. At least in the older Call of Duties, you could unlock guns pretty quickly, right, because you could just level up constantly. But this is just so much grind, and it just doesn't make it fun. I'm expected to not only be good with the skill-based matchmaking, but I'm already disadvantaged because I don't have the right gun, and I'm versing not only guys who are at similar skill, but probably guys who have spent hours and hours buying or grinding out these weapons. So they have an advantage on me skill-wise and loadout-wise, and it's a horrible formula. And I'm really disappointed. Like, I thought these maps would get me back, and the nostalgia hasn't hit, you know, and I'm just not having the same fun experience I'm having that I had back in the day with Scrapyard and Rust and that sort of thing. And you're just dying all the time. The spawns are still really bad. I don't know. I've just sort of stopped it. I want to play the campaign. I love the Call of Duty campaign, so I'll be playing that. But
they need another rejuvenation of some kind or something.
And Warzone as well. I was watching footage of it and just the looting and all that. It's like Warzone 1 was so much more simplified. Like, it's just too much time in your inventory and management. And I know games like PUBG are all about that, but that's not what the fast-paced Call of Duty was. Like, Warzone 1 was a beautiful balance of simplicity and customization in a way, right? They could have tweaked it more to make it a bit more customizable, but I feel like now I'm just always in my inventory. It's not as intuitive. It's not as fun. You're just spending a lot of
time. I think this is the product of them catering to real casual gamers for so long now. It starts to hurt people that have played for many years, I feel.
But that being said, like, I feel like Warzone 1, where the weapons spin on the ground or there's not really much inventory, there's no backpack you can access, like, I thought that was way more casual friendly, right? Like, now they're going to PUBG where you have to, like, open things and move things around.
Nah, man, like, they've gone even worse. Like, you pick up so many revives, free out of gulags. I played one game. I was barely in the gulag because I was just getting free entries out. The price to get people back in is cheaper. They've made it a lot easier to get in the fight, like, if you're not as skilled.
It's just in a bad state, my opinion.
Now, Vike, I hate to admit this, but You are right. After 3 years of this podcast, you've finally done it. You said it for years and years. You go back to many episodes. E3 is dead, Vi claimed. I said, Vi, come on, man. It's not dead yet. I was hoping, begging they would do something with it. But it is now confirmed. It is no more. It is dead. Like, you get the validation that your prediction was correct, but how do you actually feel?
It's sad. we talked about the Game Awards last week, didn't we, Dan? And we talked about how it's just too much ads and too much, not enough. You know, it's just this horrible balance, right? And I think the point I made last week still stands, where the Game Awards is the foundation is the awards, and what's built on top of that is the reveals, where I think it should be the other way around. The foundation should be your E3 style games, and then put the awards as part of it. Like, don't make that the main thing, because the main thing the main reason I would bet why people watch this event is for the reveals. So make it into an E3 and then have the celebratory moments where you're putting Game of the Year and all that sort of stuff in there. And that way you're making it like a trade show type thing, where you're having different Sony and Microsoft say, and you could do it in a way where.
So you're saying change the branding. That's a little bit late, isn't it? After 10 years of doing the show, whatever it is, to fully change the branding.
I just think what I wish, and the reality is it's not going to happen, because nowadays Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, they're doing their own directs where they can tailor things. You know, the age of live shows where things can stuff up and glitches can happen, they're gone.
Yeah, but you know, Jeff's clinging on to it. He's been able to come up with a formula where they still work with him.
Well, that's true, but it's not live gameplay.
But why are they doing that? Because he's bringing in the viewership, which they might not be able to get on their own.
I've always said this. Sony is the real key here, because I remember as soon as Sony left E3, that's when I started saying it's dead, because Sony is the reason why you would watch E3, I feel like. Towards the end, that's when it got, when Microsoft had nothing to show and Nintendo weren't doing it. Ubisoft and Bethesda, yeah, kind of, but it was kind of lackluster stuff.
Sony weren't that prominent in this Game Awards, do you?
Oh, in the Game Awards, that's what I mean. You need to get Sony back. But Sony have been really quiet. They don't have much to show, really. But I would love for, you know, them to have a presence. And, you know, I just want the magic of E3 again, but I just know it's never going to happen, and we're just going to see directs and that sort of thing. I'd rather have one event where I can take a day off or whatever it is, concentrate all my energy on, rather than having thousands of announcements over the period of a year and missing stuff. And I don't know. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, you can just concentrate on E3, get hyped, follow it for the year until next E3. Now it's got to tune into this event, this direct, this state of play. It's great that there's constant news, but it's just not as good, I think.
Well, E3 is dead, man. That's it.
How do you feel, Dan?
Sad, but I do have that beautiful memory of Keanu Reeves coming out. that's the last memory I have of E3. So it's a fond memory. Yeah, that was a great moment. And, you know, I remember watching the Uncharted 2 reveal years ago at E3. That was a great moment. Gameplay. So, you know, there's been some great moments over the years. We sort of saw the writing on the wall anyway, so we were prepared for it.
We were.
It's had a slow death, and it was kind of obvious at this point. But, yeah, it's unfortunate that they couldn't do anything with it, or, you know, even, I don't know, maybe they could have sold the rights to Jeff or something. Maybe he wasn't interested. I don't know. I don't really know the behind the scenes of all that. It's just a name, isn't it, really? It's just a brand. There's nothing really proprietary about it.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really need it. He's building his own brand, so. But that's it. Another thing that's dead, it's been one of those weeks, Game Awards. Not Game Awards, The Last of Us Online.
I was going to say Game Awards. That's
not the Last of Us Online multiplayer project is gone, man.
This
what
is
going
genuinely
on,
saddening.
Man? This is so dumb.
I know.
Years and years of development. Just gone, just like that, never to be seen.
It's really sad, Dan.
I wasn't even asking for much. I just wanted a battle royale.
I mean, look, and this is the thing, right? Like, people, I was reading some comments when this news came out and people were saying, this is great news. Get Naughty Dog to stick to what they're good at. And, you know, the single player experiences. I'm like, these people clearly don't know Naughty Dog, because do they not remember how revolutionary or how great Uncharted's multiplayer was and how much fun that was and how much fun The Last of Us' multiplayer? Like, I know Naughty Dog are primarily single player, but don't underestimate how great those multiplayer experiences were and how that could have, they could have easily have created a really great multiplayer experience, because I had so much fun with Uncharted's multiplayer and I had so much fun with The Last of Us's multiplayer, and they were somewhat unique, great experiences in the way they have mid-game upgrades and things like that. And I just think they would have come up with something special. And it's for those who are saying, you know, stick to single player, I just think you're not giving enough credit to how good Naughty Dog can make multiplayer experiences.
One of the devs, this is one of the devs, Carl Morley, said it was more fun playing this game than any other multiplayer before and since. When they say stuff like that, yeah, man. I mean, it's all hearsay, but it like Factions 1 was so good. I can't imagine this being any different. What's gone so horribly wrong? Was it a full live service? Was the model wrong from the start? Were they going full battle pass live service and just thought in this climate this game isn't good enough for it? Or, you know, what has gone wrong?
And one thing that's really interesting is I heard this point and it was a really good point. And that was the fact that, if you remember, it was Bungie that reportedly red or blacklisted or whatever you say, stopped this game from being made, right? Because they have the live service multiplayer know-how, and they sort of said this is not going to be good, and they sort of stonewalled the release of this game. And what's crazy to me is that Destiny 2 is dropping in popularity. Bungie were told that there was a 45%, the revenue's gone like 45% below their outlook. 50% below the outlook is insane for a company, by the way.
Prediction.
There's a lot of layoffs. Yeah. There was 100 employees that were laid off. Apparently, it's going to be like no bonuses, and there's a freeze for higher ups. There's going to be like a lot of changes where they're cutting back.
Isn't that corrupt though? I could be wrong here, but they did the predictions dictate the sale price at all? Do you know, remember when they sold to Sony? Would that have come into play at all? And now that they've missed it by 50%, do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, who knows? Yeah, like they bought them for $3.6 billion, and they spent $1.2 billion, reportedly, just retaining the studio's employees, and now there's mass layoffs and probably people who are looking to leave because they said apparently in an email that they're not afraid to lay off again. That could be something they'll do later. And, you know, there's apparently things like, you know, staff birthdays and events and all that, and bonuses are all gone. There's hiring freezes and salary freezes. So it's really bad outlook. And the fact that a company with a, not failing, but somewhat, it is going really fast downhill game, live service game like Destiny 2, and a company that's sort of failing in a way financially, is telling Naughty Dog that their multiplayer game is not good enough. And it's like, you know, they're fix your own game. Focus on.
Is it funny to you that they decided to not put this out rather than, and not take a hit, let's say, in the review scores or whatever? They'd rather just not put it out. All that work.
And that's, this just sucks because I just think there was something special there. Oh, there was just something special there, but, you know, we're not going to see the light of day, unfortunately. I think the principal designer of monetization designer, I think he was from Epic. He was from Fortnite, I think. So Anders Howard, he left. So left the studio. This was, we've reported on this. I think this.
So you think this is bad management at the end of the day?
I just don't know. You know, do you want to be following Bungie's advice? The monetization left. Maybe Bungie didn't like the monetization side of it. I just don't know what the variety of factors, but I just feel like they weren't given a chance because I just think that people don't realize how good Naughty Dog's multiplayer experiences have been in the past. And if this is a monetization problem, a longevity problem, I think at least give it a go. But Sony are so afraid of releasing an 8 out of 10, and probably Naughty Dog, because they've released such quality that anything below a 9 is a you know, a black mark on their portfolio. It's they're so afraid of that they won't innovate until it's a sure thing, you know? So it's just really sucks that this could have been something experimental and brilliant, but unfortunately we will never know.
All they had to do was translate Part 2's gameplay
to factions
into the factions formula. It wasn't even that hard. They didn't even have to really innovate that much.
No, I agree.
To get people involved.
I agree.
Did they? Because the gameplay was already quite upgraded from 1 to 2. Anyway.
Is. Yeah.
I mean, it just baffles me. It really does.
And that's what I'm baffled by. Like, why? Yeah. It just seems like they could have done something really great here, but maybe they weren't given the chance. We don't know. We'll probably never know.
I would have loved to just played a game or two. Anyway, we move on. Speaking of the Game Awards, the viewership has hit a new record, over 100 million streams, which is continuing its year-on-year growth. This was the smallest growth from year to year with 15% growth, but when you're hitting 100 million, that's probably going to happen. You're probably going to start to slow down in growth. There's only so many people in the fucking world. But, you know, all I heard was complaining about the show, yet the figures here say that it was record viewership. So what do you think?
Jeff Keighley said co-streaming on Twitch was up 24% year on year. And this, yes, it is good science. It's good that it's growing, and I always want it to grow. I want the Game Awards to be financially in a good place such that there is a freedom to move away from relying so heavily on ads and you know, paid promotions, if that makes sense. So that, you know, a mass amount of viewers where you can play less ads and less promos, but more viewers for more revenue.
I think you might be giving him a little bit. I think they would rather make more money.
I agree with you, but a less reliance where they can have the flexibility to maybe change that balance. Because I feel like right now Jeff wanted that maximum ad revenue because they probably needed it. And they probably couldn't afford to shift the balance back. But you're probably right in the way that they're going to be more money hungry and they're going to want more. So,
well, I always thought it's prime to have a major sponsor where it's like Logitech's the Game Awards or, yeah, a brand, the Game Awards. You know how it's like Pepsi Super Bowl?
Yeah, like I get what you're saying, but who would be that?
Someone like a Pepsi like that. That just has the money to fly out the door.
Do you know who it would be, Dan? The company that sponsors every event under the sun? It'd be Red Bull.
Exactly. Yeah. The companies like that just have money to spend on brand awareness, basically.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll do that one year. Death Stranding, Vic. Death Stranding. I didn't know how many players they'd had, but we now have confirmation. Kojima has said 16 million. Have played over the 4 years. That doesn't mean 16 million have bought, but there has been 16 million players worldwide as of this month. That's a hell of a lot of players. I've got to give him kudos for that. It's a very unique experimental game. It's not your typical AAA game, and the fact that it's done those numbers is kind of crazy, really.
Hmm.
So
it's impressive. I'm just trying to think about... I know it's probably not the best comparison, but Spider-Man 2 and God of War, I'm just trying to remember how many plays they had that played.
Well, this was on PS Collection and stuff like that, so let's not got to remember that. There's also sales, but it's still impressive. No matter what you say, it's impressive.
Especially for a game like Death Stranding, it's not everyone's cup of tea, so 16 million is really impressive.
I actually couldn't believe it
when
I saw that. It goes to show he's really hot right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is really hot. He's got the A24 movie for Death Stranding happening, which is not a small feat. He's got Overdose. He's got Death Stranding 2. I mean, the guy's, he's busy.
He is. Let's
say that. And I'm looking forward to all three.
I mean, I am too.
All right, Vic, I need to talk to you about this. The difficulty patent that Sony, we need to have a quick convo about this because I'm not a fan of this adjusting difficulty mechanic. I hate the idea of it, actually. I can't stand it.
Tell me why, Dan. Tell me why.
I want a set difficulty. I don't want it getting harder as I'm creaming people or getting easier if I'm going bad. I hate that idea. I want a set difficulty that the team have come up with all the way through. Maybe that's just me.
So I think so what they're saying is that, so Sony is developing a new feature apparently. So this is from Game Rant. Apparently for the PlayStation consoles that adjusts the game difficulty in real time. So it'll include some algorithm they have that will finely tune difficulty settings based on player performance. And it's trying to create a seamless experience where players don't have to manually adjust the difficulty settings. The game adapts to their skills and weaknesses. I'm assuming apparently you see features like this in games like MLB The Show. So apparently the success or failure of players is measured and reacted to as the game automatically adjusts and those sort of things. So if the game gets too hard on the flip side, it automatically gets easier.
You hate when I say I'm going to go easy on you.
I don't. Nothing
you despise anymore. It. You say, no, Dan, you're not going easy on me. And I'm the same.
It is true. And I do wonder how, because it's a console thing, how's it going to interact with third-party games? I don't know that because this seems to be a PlayStation console level thing. So I don't know, does that mean the console will have some sort of hold over, you know, the third-party game and can adjust the difficulty? I don't know if that would work, but I can definitely obviously see it for their first-party titles, right? Here's what I think about this, Dan. I think it's a great idea if it's optional. I don't want to be forced, like you said, to be able to adjust difficulty. I would love for an automatic setting that said adjusted difficulty.
If it's optional, we're all good. We're all good. No worries. Easy. Easy.
Here's the other thing. I just think that there are way more creative ways to theoretically adjust a difficulty than going into the settings and making it harder. And the example I want to bring to you is Metal Gear Solid 5, right? In MGS 5.
And I want to say before you make that point, I don't like the sliders that games have been introducing either, where you can slide puzzle difficulty and shooting and all this. No, I don't. I honestly just want three. Easy, medium, hard.
Interesting. That's interesting.
And then maybe you unlock the extremely hard.
Yeah.
That's what I've grown up with. Maybe I'm an old soul, but that's what I want.
I think for people who love, let's say, Tomb Raider, for example, because from memory that was quite customizable. I think people who love the action of Tomb Raider want it to be hard, but then they just can't be bothered with puzzles and want to make that easy. I can understand why they would have custom sliders.
But then you're
missing
a core element of the game.
You're essentially
changing the game for the worst, in my opinion. It changes the pacing. It changes the pacing because you're getting through that easier. So you have a different experience.
But I guess I agree with you. I guess the gamer, is it up to the gamer to choose or the developers to force gamers to go? Like, I get what you're saying. I think there are better ways to be like, maybe have the puzzles the one difficulty, but maybe have puzzle hints turned on or off or something like that, right? Or God of War, where you're in the puzzle for 2 seconds
and Atreus
is telling you. Oh, man. The one thing I want to say is if Metal Gear Solid 5 had a really great system, and I know plenty of games have done this, Metal Gear Solid 5 is just the one that's most prominent in my head, where when you're going to a base or an area, Dan, and let's say you keep coming at nighttime. You keep coming at nighttime because stealth is easier. So the game detects you're doing that, and then what happens is when you start going to other bases around the nighttime, guards will start... They'll be start having spotlights everywhere. Guards will, I think, start having night vision and things like that. Or let's say you rely a lot on headshots because with Metal Gear Solid 5, the tranquilizer guns, headshots are instant knockout, right? If you shoot them in the body, it doesn't knock them out instantly. So if you keep getting headshots with tranquilizer guns...
That's kind of in the context of the game. I don't mind that.
That's what I mean.
Maybe I'm being a hypocrite, but it's in the context of the environment of the game.
So what I'm saying is, that's a good thing. That's the smart way. I agree with you where Sony just randomly increasing difficulty.
They'll just change the health bars or some shit like that, you know
and
what
that's,
I mean?
And that's what it comes to, Dan. The reason why I'm not a fan of this is because no games really implement easy, medium, hard in a way that I like. They just say easy, medium, hard. What that means is you get lower health, bosses get higher health, and damage output decreases for you.
You get shot in two bullets rather than five or something.
It's just simple, like, things get harder for you. But what I would love hard mode to be, Dan, is what I was saying. If you keep getting headshots, guards start wearing helmets. If you keep using mines and bombs, guards maybe start using metal detectors.
Oh, well, that's amazing. I love that.
I think a creative way of difficulty settings can be done. This can be done in any game, Assassin's Creed. If you keep stabbing people in the back with a hidden blade, guards start pairing up. Do you remember in Spider-Man where guards started pairing up? It was hard to actually web in the stealth parts to start web tying them up because they started being back-to-back and walking with each other, right? Now, obviously, you can get upgrades to dual takedown, but that's beside the point, right? So there are really creative ways to increase the difficulty in a way where it doesn't blindly just decrease your attack output and increase or decrease your health, you know, and increase the boss's health, which I think is really basic, right? You have those elements because that's part of the harder difficulty, but there are just so many more creative ways, and maybe have the onus on the game rather than the console or the Sony.
The feature would log various trigger points, which are described as pivotal story moments within a game, and allow the user to seamlessly replay these trigger points at any time, similar to skipping between scenes on a movie player. Sony describes how this feature would even allow players to redo certain in-game choices, allowing them to pick up from trigger points to start an entirely new timeline. Is that just not saves coming?
That is what it is. But I think I like it, Dan, because it's just you don't have to save scum. And I'm saying I like save scumming, but I'm saying let's say you want to get platinum trophy and you got to do the good and evil ending. Rather than having to make sure you save at the right point before you make the choice, Sony have these moments marked before the turn, before you make that decision. So you can finish the game on the good ending. I'm thinking of Infamous here. And then go back and Sony will automatically give you an option to go back to that point and then choose a bad karma out. That's good. I like that. But like you said, Dan, it could be used for save scumming. But I think they're talking more of a narrative point of view. Like imagine Detroit, Dan. Imagine Detroit where I can go back to different moments and choose the different choice and see how it plays out completely differently. I think that would be really cool. You are adding, Dan, hundreds of hours to Detroit. Maybe not hundreds, but you are adding hours and hours of replay value, you know, by automating that for the user rather than the user having to rely on saving and there's an exact choice I wanted to make, but you've got to create a save. In a game like Detroit, you're going to have 400 different save files for every different choice, right? So I don't know. It can be done.
Should play
well.
Baldur's Gate,
mate. I don't mind it. You know, Mass Effect. Mass Effect is a big one, you know, where you can say yes or no. So that would be pretty interesting. But I think it's not a bad idea. I like where their head's at. But like I said, with the difficulty, I think there's just more creative ways.
No, it's a good discussion to have. We'll keep having it over the next few episodes. Vike, we had a few people write in last week about my incredible segment I brought up where we go through old episodes.
I love it.
I've remastered them and I take away a few, you know, bits and pieces of what we said.
It's a remaster, not a remake.
Episode 4, The Order 1886 sequel and PS5 game prices.
Vike, interesting.
You remember this one at all?
I mean, I'm assuming we had a discussion about games being $80 US instead of $70 or $60 instead of $70, I should say.
Well, like we both agreed that $70 US is too much money for NBA on PS5. I don't know if it was confirmed at the time, but we were saying, no, we're not going to pay that. And we have stuck to our word. Well, I have. I haven't bought an NBA game.
I haven't bought an NBA 2K since 2K14 and I'm sticking. This may have been 10 years, Dan, because it's horribly monetized. Like the reason why 2K shouldn't be that expensive is because, I am voting with my wallet with 2K because I've said this before, on my PS4 Wrapped, which was the lifetime Wrapped when the PS5 came, they gave it a PS4 everything.
That was your most played game.
2K14 was my second most played game or third most played game of all time. Over Call of Duties and Overwatches and all that, it was my most played game of all time. That was number 3. It was in the top 3. So I love 2K. I really do, but I just haven't played it since because you just can't play the game without buying currency or have to spend hundreds of hours. It just sucks. I love my career. And that's why I think like 2K doesn't deserve it, because with a game so heavily reliant on monetization, why is it not free to play? You can't have it both ways, where you have a game with an upfront cost and then a game that requires ongoing costs to play it. You know, you either have one or the other. It's just really egregious that they're doing both. It's disgusting, and I hate it.
Dan isn't a believer of PSVR 2. I've stuck to that.
Oh, I think you're not wrong, Dan. I think it's a good one.
Vike claims Hyperscape will only survive if it reaches the heights of PUBG and Fortnite. Dan doesn't think the marketing strap for Hyperscape is enough. Well, we were right about that. It's now shut down. I think it got shut down years ago now.
Yeah.
Didn't it, sadly? Vike calls Ghost of Tsushima the most beautiful open world game he's ever played.
Stick by that.
Stick by it.
LG CX. Play the LG CX TV, mate. Get that game on there and you will understand what I mean. There is, Dan, funnily enough, another game of beauty that comes to mind, and you're not gonna see this coming. One game that I thought was really beautiful, not in fidelity, just open in world. The colorfulness. Yep, open world, just purely colorful. I love the colors and the world. Immortals Fenyx Rising.
I was thinking of that game the other day, and I thought maybe I was a bit harsh on that. It's not a bad game, is it?
It's really repetitive, but it's not bad.
It's not a bad game. No.
I think I put like 30 or 40 hours into it.
Did you beat it?
I don't think I beat it, but I put like 30 to 40 hours into it, and it's just there's a lot.
I think they're going to do a sequel.
I mean, I hope. It's not Assassin's Creed. You know, it was actually so different.
It's their take on Zelda, I think, kind of.
And I just think it was good. Because what they have now is, I don't call them Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, Dan. I call that just the Ubisoft engine. And they just make it, do you want it in the past? Do you want it in the future? Do you want it in the present? Do you want guns or blades? And it's just the same thing. Do you want Avatar? Do you want it in space? Do you want it in another planet? Because that's all it is, Dan.
A few people coming at me for my take on Avatar, and look, I stick by it. I still don't think it was that good. I will give it another shot. I know some of you are loving it. I just don't see it. We'll get Jordan on soon. He'll give his more in-depth thoughts. A couple more on this, Vike. Dan and Vike don't think Skull and Bones will work as a game. This is in 2020.
Oh, my God.
It still hasn't come out. Can you believe that?
Well, it's going to come out soon. They're going to release date, so we'll know soon. We'll know soon.
Dan doesn't think Rocket Arena has legs. You remember that game we played? Rocket Arena Rocket by
Arena.
EA? You
Rocket
don't even Arena. Remember. That's how bad it was.
Was that the car one?
Nah, it was like a multiplayer sort of cartoony Fortnite game.
By EA. Yeah, I do remember that. We played that together. We played the beta, I think.
Yeah, we did. And then finally, Dan wasn't sold on Mark Wahlberg, but thought Tom Holland could be good.
Uncharted movie?
Yeah, what do you reckon?
Oh, mate. I just think that movie was terrible. Not terrible. I was very bored, actually. Yeah, I will say. I didn't like the characterization of Sully, and I thought Drake and the story was not that good. But it people liked it. It got the numbers, so who knows. But
so far, we've actually been pretty correct on these old episodes.
The Uncharted fan movie with Nathan Fillion is better, in my opinion.
Which was 10 minutes long.
And I just think that they need to treat video game stories with more reverence. It's Sony, I get it, but like the Gran Turismo movie was great, you know?
All right, Vike, you wanted another segment returning. It's here. Who am I? To wrap up the episode. Who Am I is back.
Oh,
you've got five chances.
Here we go.
5 points if you get it first, 1 point if you get it on the last one. We'll be telling the points each week. We do it. We might not do it every week, but we'll keep a tally going.
I love this. I love it.
For 5 points, I'm a major character in a major franchise.
All right. Am I allowed to guess or no?
You're allowed two guesses. And then the third one, if you get it wrong, you're done.
Okay. I won't guess then. Major character, major.
You don't want to guess yet? Okay. So I'm a major character in a major franchise. For 4 points.
Yep.
I'm a natural born leader.
I actually have an idea, but I'm not going to say it. Next one?
Come on. Give it a crack.
No. I want to save my guesses, mate.
Because you might get it in the next one.
No.
Honestly, give it a crack, mate.
I'll give it a crack next clue, mate.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. For 3 points, I've never died in any of the games I've been in, but many of my comrades have.
Any of my comrades have died. I'm thinking Call of Duty. I've been thinking Call of Duty from the start. I've been thinking Captain Price from I'm going to say Captain Price.
Is it Captain? He's done it. Well done.
Dude, I would have guessed that the last one. I should have listened to you.
I told you to give it a crack.
I know.
I told you to give it a crack. But now you only get the 3 points.
The name of the game.
Captain Price. The next one was going to be I'm in a military shooter. For 1 point, my famous saying is Bravo 6 going dark. So there you go.
Hey.
You got it.
I like
3 points. 3 points is usually where we end up on these.
It is.
So that means I think we need to throw out a few more guesses in the 5 and 4 point range. Guys, keep sending your questions through on PS Central Instagram. We're going to answer some of your questions. I've had a few come through lately. So if you've got any questions for me, Vic, or Jordan, PS5 Central on Instagram or Twitter, shoot them through and we're going to get to them before the end of the year. Anything else, Vic?
No, I'm just going to play Cyberpunk, God of War, COD campaign. I think those are the three things. I don't know if I'll try to finish Red Dead. I don't know, but Red Dead 1.
You should do yourself a favor. Beat Red Dead 1. It is a classic. You may not be having fun, but the story does ramp up.
Yeah. I'm excited, but just Cyberpunk is consuming me in a good way. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Do Cyberpunk first, yeah.
Mm. What about you, Dan? What are you playing this week?
I am playing, what am I playing this week? God of War. I'll probably finish that DLC. Yeah.
Is it a good story?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Okay, nice.
Really great. Exciting. Yeah. More. There's so many cool callbacks to the original games, which I wasn't expecting. Yeah. And Mimir, a lot of development for him. And there's definitely going to be more God of War, that's for sure.
It's exciting.
Also, RIP, James McCaffrey sadly passed away. Voice of Max Payne. He was in Alan Wake 2. Very sad. He was a fantastic actor. And we'll see you guys next week. Well, is it going to be Christmas by the next time we see?
Yeah, Christmas is in 7 days.
Yeah, you might not see an episode on Christmas Day. But around then you might see one pop out, another one, and then we're going to have to do Game of the Year. At the start of January, what our game of the years are.
Dan, if you could get any Christmas gift from Jordan and I, the podcast boys,
yeah,
what gift would you like? What would your dream Christmas gift be?
I would love if you could watch Godzilla Minus One. I watched it this week. It's incredible.
Good. I'm excited.
It's an incredible film. Loved it.
Well, Dan, I've got you a gift. It's an all-expenses-paid trip. 6 days in Fallujah, mate. So I'll be flying you there for 6 days, mate.
Oh, really? Okay. No, if I wanted a gift, yeah, it's just your friendship and love.
Oh, that's too kind. You've got my friendship. You're working on it. We're working on the other one, mate.
Well, take care, everyone. It's been a pleasure. Vic, have a good night. I'll see you soon. And with that being said, we will see you
later.
Ta-ta. PlayStation.